Today's episode is a little bit different. Earlier this year, I was a guest on the Cubicle to CEO podcast for a conversation all about podcasting, consistency, visibility, and using your podcast intentionally as a business owner. It was a super thoughtful discussion, and we talked about why so many podcasters quit early. We talked about what happens when podcasters stay consistent, and we talked about how to think about podcasting as a long-term business asset, especially as a busy mom entrepreneur. I wanted to share the full conversation with you here because it represents one of the many really amazing visibility conversations that I stepped into this year, and it gives you a behind-the-scenes look at how I think about podcasting when I'm speaking inside of somebody else's platform. In future episodes, I'm going to be breaking down all the things I've learned about podcast guesting, visibility, and collaboration more strategically from the lens of what actually supports business growth. But today, I just wanted you to hear this conversation in full. It is so good. Ellen is so sweet, and it was an honor to be a guest on her podcast. You're listening to the Moms Who Podcast Show because you want to launch, grow, and make sales from a podcast that fits your life and your business, not one that's built on chasing ads, downloads, or sponsorships. And I'm your host, Pamela Krista. I'm a wife, I'm a mom of five, and I'm a podcast manager and a podcast strategist, and I help women build podcasts that turn listeners into clients one episode at a time. Before we jump in, have you joined my free Moms Who Podcast community over on School? Because if you haven't, it is where I share behind-the-scenes trainings, resources, and extra lessons to help you take what you hear on the show even deeper. You'll be meeting other moms building podcasts, juggling business and family life, and figuring it out together. Head over to school.com/podcasters or just tap that link in the show notes and come and join us.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Today I am joined by Pamela Krista, a podcast coach and podcast manager who does end-to-end production. So you specialize in editing, uploading, and scheduling podcast episodes, and you help women entrepreneurs launch, grow, and get their podcasts visible, even as busy moms. Pamela, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ellen, so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So excited for you to be here. Speaking of being busy, I know we're here today to talk about why nearly 50% of podcasters end up quitting after only 3 episodes. It's so wild, but the stats out there, I think last I checked, there's like over 4 million podcasts in the world, but only 15% of them are still active today. So I know this is a huge problem for a lot of people. Before we even get into the weeds of like why this happens, how people can prevent it and become more consistent with their podcasting, I just want to ask you, who do you think is the right business owner to host their own podcast where it actually makes sense and helps their business grow versus the business owners that you would just recommend, hey, you should just focus on guesting on other people's podcasts. Maybe having your own show isn't the right path for you. What's your thought there?
I love that question. And I think the biggest thing that comes up for me when hearing that is like content. So like, you know, podcasting is evergreen. So, you know, I just had a client tell me the other day, she was like, I'm kind of blocked. I don't know what to say. And I'm like, you know, do you have any blog posts, any social media that you've posted? So if there is, you know, when I say content, I just mean like you are selling something. We're talking to business owners. And so can you, every single episode that you do, can that pertain back to your business? If the answer is yes, then 100%, like you should start a podcast. If there is a point where you can't do that, then probably focus on, you know, guesting. But I mean, I think both answers are like, do both, like start a podcast and guest if you have a offer that ties back directly to your business.
Yeah, I mean, definitely that 1-2 punch is the best combination out there for those who have capacity to do both.
Yes.
And I will say, as a host myself for, you know, going on 5+ years now, having someone like you, having a podcast manager to do all the back end of your show makes doing this so much more realistic. There's absolutely no way I would have lasted this long if I had to do all of my own editing, uploading, scheduling, you name it. So bless you and all the podcast managers out there.
Yes, absolutely. And that is a huge thing too. So like, yes, if you don't have the capacity to record episodes, or, you know, one of my clients, she messaged me at like midnight and she was like, I'm taking so long to, you know, plan out this episode. I need a different process. And so we're working through that, because I'm like, girl, you don't have to spend hours and hours and hours. Like, it shouldn't be that hard. But I mean, it does take time. You have to plan. You have to sit down and look at your schedule and record. You know, if you have the doctor's appointment, you have to move it. And let's not even get into like the kids and the doctor's appointments and all the stuff that you have to like move around. And so, you know, having somebody take that off your plate is just like chef's kiss.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, once someone commits to creating a podcast, right, they decide it's right for them, they get so excited. I see this all the time. People are so stoked to finally have their own podcast. They go hard for, you know, launch, or for a couple weeks, maybe even a couple months, and then they burn out super quickly and you never hear from them again. Why do you think that is? What is the root cause of podcasters burning out so quickly? And what are the top mistakes that you see new podcasters making in those first few episodes?
Yeah, so I think the roots is like, you know, as moms, I mean, even women, like you don't even have to be a mom to feel like you're not enough. Almost every single, you know, person I talk to thinks or have thought before they started, nobody's going to listen to me. Nobody cares what I have to say. And then a lot of other things that I see are, oh, there's so many other podcasts out there like that already, or podcasting is saturated. And none of those things are true. Everybody is unique. We all have our own thoughts. And so even if there's a million different podcasts out there, which there is, but even if there is a million different podcasts out there about the same thing, so let's take blogging, for example. Mm-hmm. Every one of those podcasters that are the hosts, like, they're all different. They all think a different way. They all have different processes. So we are all unique. Nobody is the same. And also what I've learned is that people do connect with people. So people 100%. Are not... Yeah, people aren't buying podcast management from me. They're working with me because we connect on another level. It's not because I'm a mom. It's because I have the skill, but also we vibe and we connect, and it just makes sense. And so a lot of mistakes that I see in those first few episodes are just, you know, really getting defeated in that thought process of like, well, I don't know what to do now. And they just don't know their next steps. And so they stop, or they just like totally fall flat.
I can definitely relate to, you know, people thinking, oh man, it's so saturated. There's so many podcasts just like mine. I get that same kind of hesitation when, for example, we're teaching people how to create courses. They're like, oh, there's so many courses out there that are just like mine. But you brought up such a great point, Pamela, about perspective and how each person's experience and perspective informs their podcast in such a way that no other person can replicate your life story, right? And share your experiences the way that you do. I also feel, and you probably especially experience this as a podcast manager, I really feel a large part of the connection piece with a podcast is literally the voice. Like, because
literally,
right? Because it's an audio channel. You have to like the voice of the person that you're listening to. And so that's another thing that's unique, right? Like, no two voices are exactly the same. So there is something I think so, so individual about every single show. And I'm so, so glad that you brought that up. Speaking of launching with your first couple episodes, by the way, I'm just curious from your perspective as a podcast manager, do you typically recommend that your clients launch with a certain number of episodes or a certain type of episode? Do you still believe in a show trailer, or are you kind of like, ah, that's so, you know, yesterday? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I've had clients before who come to me and they've had their show for years and they don't have a trailer. At that point, I'm like, it's cool. You don't need one. If you really wanted to, you could create one and backdate it if you wanted to. But I mean, it's just extra work at that point. You don't really have to. Mm-hmm. When I do my podcast launch for clients, I do recommend with a trailer, just because it kind of builds the hype. And also, you know, getting super technical here, when you put your show on Apple and Spotify and really just get it out there on the other players, you technically have to have one episode. And so that's what we use as the technical episode, even though it's a trailer. So I like using it for that. Otherwise, you're going to just launch with an episode right away when you can just launch with a trailer and then kind of build up that hype. And then how I do it is a week later, I like to do three episodes. That's just what I've seen since the jump of when I started 3 years ago. it's a good strategy because it gives people a chance to binge those three episodes and really get a feel for your show so they can, you know, feel really good about leaving a review and, you know, be like, yes, I'm going to subscribe to this show. But also, you know, a lot of my clients are busy. And so I'm like, hey, if launching with three episodes doesn't feel good, then we can just launch a trailer a week later. We'll just launch one and then launch another one a week later. Like, let's release the pressure of what you feel like you should have to do, because there's no one size fits all when it comes to podcasting. That's what I continue to learn every day, is that everybody does their show different and everybody has a different strategy. And there is like, there's like, I don't want to say the word lazy, but there's like a low key way of there podcasting. There's a low key way to podcasting. And then there's a real strategic way where you can get clients from your podcast. You can optimize it for SEO to get your ideal clients to book with you. So there's a lot that goes into that.
Let's talk about that latter piece, because I think the majority of our listeners who are hearing this episode and either have a podcast already or are thinking about launching one and maybe hiring someone like you to help them with that process, they want to get clients. They want to get booked revenue from their show, right? Otherwise, it feels like this huge effort that without a lot of payoff. So I mean, this is something that I wish I had done better, honestly, when I first launched our show back in 2019, is thought about keywords and how are people going to discover our show in search. So what are some of the things that you advise your clients on in terms of making sure their show is SEO optimized and that they are creating content in a strategic way to actually book new clients from their show?
Yeah, I love this. And this is like I call it like the bread and butter of what I do and what I really like. I love working with women who have a signature offer. So like, I mean, I have multiple different offers that I do, but like, if you want to make money with your podcast and you have a signature offer, you create episodes around that offer. And so when we think about organic search, it literally comes down to, what is your ideal client, your ideal podcast listener? What are they typing in? Not to Google, but yes, that too. But when they go to Apple, what are they typing in? They're not going to type in what you think they're going to type in. They're going to type in what they're going through. So if I wanted to listen to a podcast about how to be like a better parent with my teens, because man, teenagers are hard, I would probably go to Apple and I would type in teen parenting or Christian teen parenting or something like that. And of course, I'm saying that with like SEO knowledge, but you really have to be specific on what you want to listen to. But the other piece of that too is that we know why they listen, but we don't know when they're listening. So are they doing the dishes? Are they doing the laundry? Are they on a road trip? Are they on a bike ride going for a walk? We don't know when they're listening. And so when that happens, like what are they typing in to find you? And that goes down to having that, whatever that keyword is, and there can be more than one, in the title, in the show notes, and just all throughout, even your verbal words, it all matters.
Oh, well, I didn't know that about the audio piece. So are there search engines like crawling the audio file and pulling keywords when people are searching for certain terms?
Yeah, there was an update. I don't remember when, but there was an update where like, if you go to Apple, like the whole transcript is there now. I'm not a huge fan of it.
I see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, cause I already, obviously being an editor, I already have my transcript. I'm not a huge fan of it because I want somebody to listen to my show rather than read a transcript personally. Right. If you want to read, I would rather direct you to the blog post, right? But yeah, you can get the full transcript right there on Apple. I don't know about any other players because I'm an Apple girly, but but yeah, you can. They crawl the audio too.
Okay, awesome. So it's good to know the keywords that you want to be found for. Put them throughout show notes, your episode titles, and your show title, and do it for every single episode that you're releasing, like weave those keywords in. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. If you can, sometimes it might not work and that's okay. But 80-90%, if it can fit, then put it in there. And then if you've already started your show, you can go back to those older episodes and you can, you know, update the title and you can update the show notes.
Okay, perfect. And then you were talking about how you love working with clients, especially who have a signature offer, and then helping them create a content strategy that focuses on directing those clients back to that signature offer. Do you find that with those type of clients who really are using their podcast as a funnel leading directly to that signature offer, do you find that they tend to have more success with conversion when they do majority solo episodes versus a more interview-based format like our show. Obviously, our show has a different objective. Like, we're not selling into a signature program. Our content is the product, so it's a totally different use case. But for your type of client, what do you recommend?
Yeah, I think that solo episodes are going to be a better fit because they want to, they're buying from that person. So the more that they hear that person speak, the better that they get to know that person and feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. With that being said, and this is my favorite thing ever, is when I do this on my show. So I'm very picky about who comes on my show. And it's because my show's for a reason. So Mom 2 Podcast, you know, I have like my client case studies on there. So when my clients bring on their case studies, it just builds that authority for them. So having, you know, they can air their coaching calls, they can bring them on as a case study. How did you help them through this transformation by going through your signature program or, you know, whatever they offer? So that there's a lot of different moving pieces that you can still weave in with the solo episodes as well.
So smart. I love that. So being really strategic about the strategic guest interviews to highlight the success essentially of your students or clients.
Yeah. And even if you did want to go the interview route, because interviews are so much fun, mm-hmm. Then you want to make sure that it complements your signature program or whatever it is that you are selling. Because if you start having like the same people on your show or, you know, something that doesn't really make sense, then it's not that it's for nothing, you know, because you're doing it for a reason. Obviously you feel passionate about it, but if the goal is to make money and bring that back to that signature offer, you want to make sure that the guest that you're having on that show is complimentary to that service that you're providing.
Right. That totally makes sense. And then this all, of course, ties into someone's ability to be consistent, right? Because if you're seeing results from your show, it's easier to stay consistent. But mm-hmm. I know and you know that podcasting is a long game. Sometimes you don't see those results right away, and it can be easy to then get discouraged and drop off. So tell our listeners, why is consistency so important for podcast success? And especially because you said you're an Apple Podcast girly, are there any even like kind of behind the curtain algorithm tricks or things that are impacted by the consistency of your show?
Yeah. So when it comes to consistency, it's not only about showing up, but it's also about, you know, and I'm going to use Instagram here as a real quick example, but you know, sometimes I feel repetitive on Instagram, like, oh man, they've already heard this a million times. But the fact of the matter is that that person, or like what you posted it the first time, and if people see it a second time or a third, like it's okay, they can skip it. But when you post it for the 10th time, one person is seeing that for the very first time. They didn't see your 9 posts previously. Mm. But podcasting is a little bit different because podcasting is evergreen. So consistency is important because it helps build that authority with the SEO and organic search. If you're not consistently publishing episodes, then there's no traction on where they can find you, and they're not going to find you because there's not enough juice there. Mm. So it just all ties back into, you know, making sure that you have the foundation set up and those keywords put into place. And then also to the other pieces, a lot of my clients recently are just like, you know, how can I, or what episodes do I, you know, post next or publish next? And it's like, I wouldn't worry about the order because you publish that episode on Monday, but a year later, somebody's going to be hearing that for the first time. So like also release the pressure of like what order of episodes to publish, because at the end of the day, like it, don't want to say it doesn't matter, but people are going to find it later anyway. So it only matters for the people who are, you know, subscribing to your show and following you at that moment.
Yeah. And I tend to agree that as a podcast listener myself, in addition to, of course, being a podcast host, I find that for my favorite shows, it's kind of like a choose your own adventure anyways, as a listener. Like I'm scrolling through their back catalog and kind of cherry picking the episodes that speak to me and then adding it to my queue or my play next playlist. And so it doesn't even matter necessarily like what order it was published in, like I'm choosing exactly my own order, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually just released or recorded an episode about this literally because it's like there's two types of listeners. You will have listeners that will binge everything. They're just a super fan of yours and they like everything that you do. And they're going to just listen to at least 80% of your stuff. And then cherry picking is a great term. That's exactly what they'll do. They'll just pick and choose because we're living in an age where like people want that instant satisfaction, or like if it doesn't apply to you, why would you listen to it anyway? So they're judging the title. And if it matters to them in that moment, they're going to hit play. And then if it doesn't, they're going to skip over it anyway. So it's got to relate to them, what they're going through right now.
totally makes sense. And by the way, we're going to link Pamela's podcast in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, make sure after this episode ends, add Pamela's podcast to your queue and any episodes that she references, make sure you go back and add that to your playlist. Do you have any thoughts, Pamela, around frequency as it relates to podcast consistency when it comes down to people deciding, am I going to make this an ongoing like weekly show or biweekly show, or am I going to make this a season-based show? I know season-based shows are becoming more and more popular because it doesn't feel like you're committing to doing this forever and ever ongoing. Do you have any thoughts or preferences around those two formats?
Yeah, I love this question because I feel like I'm against the grain here. I feel like I'm alone in this, but I don't like seasons. I don't. I think that consistency is just so important, and I'm all for like weekly episodes. If you can do more, that's cool, but like weekly, I believe is where it's at. When I think of seasons, I think of like a true crime podcast that's like, okay, in this season we're in Indiana. Season mm-hmm. two, we're in Ohio. Season yeah. three, we're in Chicago. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to like taking breaks, there's a way to do that where you can still publish episodes. Last summer, and I'm a mom of five.
Wow.
Last summer, yeah, my kids were going to be out of school and I had like 2 weeks and I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? Because I'm really weird. I don't like recording when my husband's around or my kids around. Like that's why I rented an office today, because I'm like, I don't know. It's just not my vibe. Yeah. And so I had a very short period of time to figure out how I was going to do this. So I batch recorded 9 episodes and I didn't have to record all summer long, but my podcast was still surely going to come out every week.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's all based on personal preference. You can totally take a month off or 2 or 3 and that's fine. But there is a way to like continue. You can re-air old episodes. You can also go back to the beginning. I did this at the beginning of the year. I was really crunched on time. I just quit my full-time job to take my business full-time. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have an episode for like the first of the year. And so I went 2 years back and I re-recorded an episode that I've already done before with fresh eyes or a fresh voice 2 years later. So I took old content that I already had and just, I didn't reinvent the wheel. I had a few different thoughts about it than I did 2 years ago. And so I just kind of redid the episode, but it wasn't a re-air either. So it was still fresh content.
Right. Oh, that's so smart. And actually, it kind of reminds me of some of those podcast shows that exist out there where the entire format is just reactions to old content. Like they like real time consume the content, you know, and then add their fresh feedback or perspective, like you said. But that's really smart, actually, to like just fully re-record the content based on new insights, new experience. So I love that tip, Pamela. That's really smart. Also, one thing that has worked well for us sometimes when we need to fill a gap is airing an episode where I'm interviewed on someone else's show. So I feel like there's so many, like you said, there's so many ways to take a pause from creating new content, but still remain consistent. And so I think that's great encouragement.
Yeah. And fun fact, I was actually going to ask you if I could air this on my show because would just be. So, I mean, there's so many ways to take a week off from podcasting. I mean, there's just so many ways.
Yes, 100%. We would love for you to do that. For podcasters who are really in the weeds right now and they're spending all their time on editing and production, which obviously makes it harder for them sometimes to stay consistent, what are the top tasks they can delegate to someone like yourself to really feel like less of a burden in creating new content every week?
Yeah. I mean, my first thought is like, you know, the editing, obviously, because if you have somebody helping you with the editing, you know, cleaning up the audio and, you know, making it sound better than what it did when you gave it to them. And then also, you know, having somebody with that strategy to then help you with that and, you know, going back to the offer and also uploading and scheduling that episode, that's going to allow you more time to record other episodes or to be a guest on other shows or, you know, just focus more on your business and the things that you want to do. Mm-hmm. So by taking that piece out of it, you literally are just recording it and then sending it over to somebody else. You don't have to edit it. You just send it over. I had to tell one of my clients, she kept like stopping in the recording. I'm like, don't do that. Just go. And that's what I do. I listen to everything from the beginning to the end. So that's like the first thing that comes to my mind. But there's also other things, you know, like you can take your podcast episode and turn it into a full-fledged SEO optimized blog post, which I highly recommend. My blog writer is amazing. And then you can also, you know, create reels, you know, repurposing it, make it an email. So there's so many other things
depending on what the goal of your business is as a whole and the goal of your podcast is. So you can outsource those emails. Maybe you want to convert those email subscribers. Then I would probably recommend starting with that. And then if editing comes down the line, then outsource that. But figuring out the goal of your show and then working from there to have somebody help you with that in their expertise is just everything.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Do you do any other production pieces outside of, you know, once they've recorded and you are doing kind of everything else to get it live, like the editing and the scheduling and publishing and whatnot? But have you worked with any clients where they're like, Pamela, I'm so strapped. I need help with the beginning stuff too. Like, I need help with booking guests, or I need help with coordinating recording, or even like coming up with the topics to record. Do you do any of that pre-production work as well?
Yeah, pre-production. I'm actually heavily diving into that right now. Like, I have something really amazing lined up for the pre. And then also, you know, the reels, the email. The only thing that I say that I don't really do and I don't is the blog post. Like, I just outsource that because that's not, even though it comes from the podcast, because the podcast is a top of funnel. I know about SEO, but you would be much better off having her do that for you than me, because it's going to be done in a way that like is correct, but like she does it with like the strategy and all the techie stuff that I don't even know about. So anything else I do for that, like pre and post.
Amazing. I just got to say, like, having someone help with pre-production also makes a world of difference. So if that's any encouragement to any of you podcasters listening who have been thinking about hiring some support, definitely look into that. It makes such a difference. Are there any other tips around making podcasting easier to stick with and commit to so that our listeners who are podcasters don't fall into that 50% of people who up and quit their show? Anything else we haven't covered today?
I would just say that don't stop. Like, just even if you think you're doing it wrong, or even if you don't know what you're doing, maybe you don't even know what you want to offer, you can still continue to publish episodes and you can still continue to get better. My show just turned 2 years old, and I feel like right now more than ever, my show has grown 86% in the past year.
Incredible.
And I just feel like with every episode, I get better even 2 years later. And that's just life. Like, we get better as time goes on and we learn and we grow. And the only way to like not get better is to stop. And then also, like you asked, you know, the key to making it easier would be just release the pressure. Release the pressure of what everybody else is doing, you know, when it comes to anything. But with podcasting, again, there's no one size fits all. So just like release that pressure. If you can only release every other week, then do that. You don't have to follow what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I remember, especially when I was starting out, I felt like, oh, do podcast episodes need to be a certain length, or do they need to be formatted this way? And it's like, honestly, now that I've been in this space for so long and been a listener too, I find I enjoy shows that have 1 hour episodes just as much sometimes as I like shows that have 5-10 minute episodes, like just that bite-sized little nugget that I need. So you're so right. That's great encouragement. There is no one size fits all, like you said. And I really love the perspective shift that you just shared around. It's all just practice. Like the repetition is what makes you good, even if you feel like you're kind of just figuring your way out through the mess. So love that you said that. By the way, I know our listeners are going to be like, wait, Ellen, you have to ask this. 86% growth for your show in a year is incredible. Mm-hmm. Outside of remaining super consistent, is there any other like secret to that spike in growth that you've seen?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about that a lot, and I'm like, I want to say it's, you know, the organic SEO. I have 5 kids. I have a very busy client roster, and so I just continue to publish episodes and I share it when I can. Like, I can barely get on Instagram. I will say Threads has been really amazing.
I love Threads. Yes. Oh my gosh.
It's awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, that probably played a huge part in it. But also, I hosted a summit for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I think that the build up to that was really great. And I think that helped too. So, you know, hosting events, there's so many different things that you can do to grow your show. Mm-hmm. And hosting summits is what I choose to do right now. Yeah. And, you know, stuff like that really matters too. So like organic SEO plus, you know, events, collaborations is what helped it grow.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations on all your growth and success. Where can our listeners continue to connect with you, Pamela, and then tune into your show as well?
Yeah, so you can find me over on Instagram or Threads. I'm at Pamela Krista, and my show is called Moms Who Podcast, and the tagline for that is Podcasting Tips for Female Entrepreneurs.
Love that. Again, all the links will be below in the show notes for easy access. Pamela, thank you again for joining us and sharing your tips. Hopefully, coming out of this episode, we'll see a lot more podcasters sticking with it for the long term.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you so much, Ellen, for having me on.
Thank you.
All right, my friend, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. This episode is such a great reminder that podcasting doesn't have to be complicated, flashy, or overwhelming to actually work for your business. What matters the most is clarity, consistency, and creating content that connects with the right people. If you're listening to this and you've been feeling stuck with your podcast, unsure what to record next, or wondering how to make your podcast support your business in a more intentional way, you are not alone, and that is exactly why I built the Moms Who Podcast community. Inside of the community, I help women simplify their podcast strategy, get clear on their best next steps, and build a podcast that actually leads to clients without chasing downloads, ads, or sponsorships. And it's totally free to join. The link is in the show notes, or you can go to school.com/podcasters, and I would love to welcome you inside. Thank you so much for being here and for listening and for trusting me with your time. I hope you have the most beautiful rest of your day, and I will talk to you in the next episode. Bye.